Siete in compagnia di SBS Italian. Trovate altre storie su sbs.com.au/italian o scaricate la SBS Radio app.
You're listening to a podcast by SBS Italian. My name is Magica Fossati, and today we have a special guest, the artistic director of the Europa Film Festival, Spiro Economopoulos. Welcome to SBS, Spiro.
Hello, Magica. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
This is the fifth edition of your festival, and it's the first national program. Can you go back a few years and tell us about how you started it and why you decided we needed this festival?
Well, I was brought on board. This is my third festival, so the festival's been running for 5 years. So there was someone before me. So the festival, I think, initially was started because I think they felt that there was an opportunity to do a festival that was more European centric rather than specific by country by country. Obviously, we have a lot of fantastic festivals like the Italian and the French, but I think this was an opportunity to kind of broaden that scope a little bit and bring all of those different European countries together. And also because there's so much content out there, and I think it was a great opportunity to kind of look deeper into what's going on in European cinema at the moment.
This year, you've got a very big program, 43 mm-hmm. films from 22 countries across Europe. There are, of course, a lot of co-productions and films mm-hmm. that involve more than one nation. You start with The Testament of Anne Lee. Can you tell us a little bit about the film, which will be your opening night?
Yes, The Testament of Anne Lee is a really fascinating film. It's about the founder of the Shaker movement, which was a branch from the Quaker movement, and they kind of broke off from them, and Anne Lee was its founder. The filmmaker Mona Fassbold is one of the writers behind the film The Brutalist, which came out last year, and has directed her own films as well. And this is her latest feature. And the film is a kind of a quasi musical in some ways. And I think what's really amazing about this movie is the way it uses the rhythms and the hymns of the Shaker movement to create these original songs that are presented throughout the film. It's a really bold movie, and I think it's such a great way to open a festival that is about celebrating, you know, what's different and exciting about European cinema.
There is, of course, a very big offer of Italian movies as well, which is exciting for my audience.
Yeah, me too.
You got several movies that are new, like Sotto le Nuvole, Below the Clouds, Il Maestro, My Tennis Maestro, Primavera. Let's start from these three films. There's also Truffles that we've already talked about last year here through the Espresso Festival program.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about Sotto le Nuvole, Below the Clouds, for instance? It's a film by Gianfranco Rosi, which depicts Naples in a very original way.
Absolutely. He's a fascinating filmmaker. I think if people know his previous film, Fire at Sea, which I think was a Golden Bear winner at Berlin a few years back. It's a very similar kind of approach he takes with this film. It's essentially like an essay film about the city of Naples, and it's just shot in black and white, very beautiful looking movie that kind of, you know, is sort of like a portrait of its inhabitants, who are kind of essentially living under the shadow of Mount Vesuvius, which is, you know, I think many regard as one of the most dangerous volcanoes in the world. And it's just like a really beautiful observational documentary portrait of the city and the people that are living there, kind of going about their daily lives. It's quite special.
Il Maestro is a sport movie, that's the way it's described in Italy, with Pier Francesco Favino, who's a favourite among Italian audiences and also audiences from Australia, I'm sure. Can you tell us a little bit about this film?
Yeah, obviously, Pier Francesco Favino is a, you know, really big star in Italy and here as well now, obviously, through a lot of the films that come out here. The film is like a really lovely coming of age film, essentially. Pier Francesco plays a a sort of burnt out tennis coach who takes on the tutelage of a young boy who wants to become a tennis player. And it sort of becomes, under his guidance, it sort of becomes his young boy's kind of awakening into the world. So it's essentially a coming of age movie where Pier Francesco is essentially maybe not the, you know, like, you know, giving him the best path forward, but is definitely kind of initiating him into the wider world in ways that this young boy never would have imagined. So it's a really kind of entertaining film, I think.
And then Primavera by Damiano Micheletto takes us back to the Venice of the 18th century. Is this a real story?
I think it uses real people to tell a fictional story. I think there's elements of the film that are true, obviously. This is set in a young girl's orphanage in Venice in the early 1800s. And it's about a young girl called Cecilia, who's a very gifted violinist. And to the orphanage comes the latest instructor, which actually turns out to be Vivaldi. And Vivaldi sees her talent and wants to kind of elevate her into the upper echelon. But because of, you know, the way culture and society then looked at women in terms of like being elevated out of these places, she kind of comes against a lot of misogyny and a lot of the men in the institution that want to keep her down. So it's a really kind of inspiring story. And in fact, the director, it's their feature debut, but he's a very well-known opera director, very celebrated one in Italy. So this is a really kind of exciting debut for him to be entering into. And obviously, I think one that he would bring a lot of knowledge and, you know, sort of background into, which is interesting.
We were mentioning before Spiro Truffles, Trifole, which is another film by a very young filmmaker that was shown briefly in Melbourne and Sydney last year. But can you tell us why you were taken by this film as well?
Yeah, I think it kind of got a very brief viewing and we really wanted to bring it back. It's a lovely movie about this Italy, Piedmont, the Piedmont region, which is very kind of well known for its truffle hunting. And it's about this young girl who basically is kind of brought into that world. That she's the granddaughter from memory, I think. She's gone.
That's right.
And to sort of basically takes her kind of on this sort of adventure and journey through that region and sort of beyond, actually, and involves a dog who kind of becomes a big element of the story as well.
It's a lovely little film that we saw last year, and I'm looking forward to other people being able to see it at your festival this year. It's really sweet. But also, for us Italian, it's very exciting to see that you have a Antonioni retrospective. So you will be screening some amazing movies by Michelangelo Antonioni. How did you decide to do this, too?
Well, I've got to say, I'm very excited as well, to be honest with you. He's definitely like one of my absolute favourite European filmmakers, I think. He's really incredible. So we were super excited to bring these particular four films into it. It's part of a wider program that we're collaborating with the Italian Cultural Institute, but I wanted to focus in particular about his amazing collaboration and with his partner in real life as well, Monica Vitti. So the four films that we are screening are all, you know, the four movies that he kind of made with her. We've got Eclisse and Red Desert, La Notte, La Ventura, all classics, obviously. And I think he's just one of those filmmakers that really captured that particular point in time. And he was like a master in kind of, I guess, representing that alienation, urban alienation that a lot of people felt coming out of the 50s into the 60s. And I think they're incredibly beautiful films. And, you know, if you're going to make movies about people that are, you know, struggling with the kind of modern world, you know, want to do it with some of the most beautiful people on the planet, with the actors that are in these films, including Monica Vitti and Alain Delon. Like, it's, you know, really, really exciting cinema, I think.
We're talking to Spiro Economopoulos, Artistic Director of the Europa Film Festival, which is starting soon. And I'd like to take a leaf out of your book and be a little bit more European instead of being campanilista and talking about Italian movies only. You also have another fantastic retrospective, Eric Rohmer, Tales of the Four Seasons, a beautiful series from the 90s. Why did you decide to screen them?
Well, I think, yeah, these are all, like, I mean, Eric Romer is a filmmaker, very much like a very big one from the 90s. And it's been a while since I think we've seen his films represented. And this particular quarter of films, which is his four Tales movies, A Tale of Autumn, Summer, Winter and Springtime, are really delightful. And I think he's been a really influential European filmmaker on many people. His films are like these really wonderful kind of comedy of manners that kind of captures, I think, you know, a particular moment in time. And I just think it's kind of really exciting for people to discover his films, I would say.
And always beautiful to see them on a big screen rather than
absolutely
discovering them on a computer or a TV set. But
that's it.
Piero, just looking at your program, it's so beautiful and broad, and there are a lot of new films. Can you maybe help us find a few gems, maybe some films that you particularly like and you're particularly excited about?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, one that really stands out for me is this really wonderful Spanish film called Mas Palomas, which is this really beautiful movie about an elderly gay man who's living in Mas Palomas is a very well-known gay resort, and he's kind of living his best retirement there. And unfortunately, he has a debilitating stroke, and he's forced to go into a home, but also forced to go back into the closet again. And the film is about this man's kind of journey, kind of coming back out of that again. And it's a really, really wonderful film. And I think a story that we don't really see enough about as well. And not too dissimilar to that, we have a really wonderful film called Kale Malaga with Carmen Mora. Carmen Mora, if the audience is, if they don't know, is, you know, one of the big stars of Pedro Almodovar's films.
That's right.
And this is a really wonderful movie about the expat Spanish community that were living in Morocco. This is a lot of Spanish people migrated there during the Franco regime. And she was one of these women that ended up there. And it's about this elderly woman who, again, is sort of forced out of her beloved home into retirement, but she kind of fights against that, and it's her kind of journey to kind of forge her own path forward. It's really wonderful, and I think, you know, both of those films, obviously dealing with older people, I think are really kind of interesting stories that are quite, you know, I think exciting and inspiring and really fresh in the way they're told.
Do most of the films that you show at your festival then get a broader release, or is it the only opportunity in many cases to see them in Australia?
Not all of them. Some do. But I think that's the thing about Europa, and, you know, many film festivals in general, is that sometimes this is the only opportunity you'll get to see these films. So I think it's really important to, you know, if you're really interested in cinema, is to see what's out there and support the festivals. And you know, like I said, they're not going to end up in streaming channels sometimes. They're not going to end up in the cinema, and this could be your only chance to see the film. So, you know, I think it's always a really exciting discovery for people.
We were saying before, it's the first national program, but I should actually say international, because you're also screening in New Zealand,
that's
right?
Correct. Yeah, first time we're going to New Zealand, which is very exciting.
That'll be great. Look, one more suggestion, because there are some countries that probably are not that well known for cinema in their cinematic production. I'm reading off the list that you provide on your website. I can see Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg. Yeah. There are a lot of countries represented.
Okay.
Maybe something really like a hidden gem.
Yeah. Well, for me, actually, the other hidden gem is Made in EU from Bulgaria. I'm very fond of this film in particular because the filmmaker's previous film, Blaga's Lesson, we screened, I think, a couple of festivals back, which it was sensational. And I think this is just like a really compelling movie that's set during the beginning of the COVID pandemic. And it's very much about this factory worker who's wrongly accused of bringing the virus into the factory and kind of stopping the work. And it's kind of becomes a film about the exploitation of these kind of workers and this woman sort of fighting against the system to kind of clear her name. It's a very compelling movie, I think a really fascinating one, and, you know, a really timely one as well.
As a close observer of the European cinema, do you think there are some themes that are kind of recurrent across countries?
Oh, look, I think, you know, I think cinema in general is very much reacting to the world we're living in at the moment. You know, I guess there's a lot of divisions going on. There's a lot of kind of contention And I think it's only till afterwards when we look back at all these films we kind of go, oh, this is what the temperature was of the world at this point. And I think that's what cinema does so well. It actually does that, I think, and it does it through telling stories. And you know, sometimes these stories have a deeper resonance when we look back at them. So I think definitely you can see that kind of stranding through a lot of the films.
Cinema theatres and festivals have a lot of competition these days, but do you think there's still a very keen interest by the audience for these special editions of festivals?
Absolutely, yeah. I think we're living in a really interesting time now where a lot of those festival goers as well, we're gaining a lot of younger audience members. There's a kind of lot of commentary around the idea that it's like the letterbox generation, which is if people don't know it, it's a social media app that's basically about movies. And so you're getting a really young audience turned into cinephiles, essentially, that are kind of showing up to these festivals and are coming to retrospective sort of screenings as well. And it's very exciting. It's very exciting to see this happening. And I'm really glad someone's kind of holding that mantle up for cinema and continuing that.
That's fantastic. I'm observing that in my own family. So
yeah,
there is a movement.
That's good to hear.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, there is. And I'm all for it. I'm very excited about it.
Spiros, thank you so much. All the best for this edition of the festival and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Volete ascoltare altre storie come questa? Potete trovarle su Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify o ovunque scarichiate i vostri podcast.